If you have your Bibles, I would invite your attention this afternoon over to the second letter written to Timothy, 2 Timothy, over in the second chapter. And here, most of you all know Paul is writing a longtime friend now and co-laborer in the Word, his friend Timothy. And Paul's words to Timothy, as you look in these books, these epistles written to him, they're so encouraging. So encouraging that we find here. And you know, he's trying to uplift Timothy and direct Timothy. And I got to thinking, you know, as I was thinking about these verses today, Paul writes to Timothy and he tells him these things. And Timothy was by his side for quite a long time. They spent a lot of hours together, and undoubtedly Timothy had heard these things before. This wasn't news to him. This wasn't new revelation stuff. But here again, Paul was, it didn't matter if Timothy had heard it 100 times. Paul was encouraging him to keep on keeping on in the Word, to do the right thing. And the truth is that we need that. We need that even as pastors. We need the exhortation of others. And you know, I appreciated so much the messages yesterday by Brother Troy, but I you know, sometimes, you know, as pastors and teachers, we can get on something that don't matter in the end to a whole hill of beans. And we just get focused on that one thing and that one thing over and over. And we leave undone the main things, the plain things. And we need to be exhorted to remember those things. And that's what what Paul is doing for Timothy here. So let's read. I'm just going to read a couple of lines here. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. It says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David," as Brother Greg was speaking about today, "was raised from the dead according to my gospel." Paul told Timothy to remember. Remember what? To remember Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed One, Jesus of the lineage of David, that He came and that He was raised from the dead. In other words, remember the resurrection of Christ. Remember the resurrection of Christ. Today is what I can only refer to as Resurrection Sunday. That's the best way that I can put it. And I know today's churches across this land, I know that they've paused and they've celebrated in different ways. And I know some have glorified Christ and the things they've done, and some have not, because they focused on things that are external, things that are of this world, rather than the things of Christ. And I know that this time of year, churches are always a little bit fuller. Sometimes you have people come twice a year. This is one of them. But I want you to know, if you need encouragement to come on Resurrection Sunday, well, we're going to be celebrating it next week too. And the week after. And because we're going to celebrate it every Sunday that we come. As a matter of fact, that's why we come on Sunday. We come on Sunday because this is the day that the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead. That's why we're here. That's why we don't meet on Saturday or Friday. We meet on Sunday for that reason. But today is a day indeed that many hearts are turned towards the resurrection, turned towards Jesus Christ, turned towards His death, burial, and resurrection. Brother Ethan was telling me about watching the movie Risen here lately, and how it was a good movie. It was from the perspective that it was in, and I haven't seen it yet. I try to watch some of these movies. Some of them I get too critical of, and that's why I don't watch them. But I'm always glad when there's a good one. But I know this time of year, certainly, that people are turned towards the cross. And folks, I never discourage anybody in turning their attention towards the cross. Yeah, I just don't. I mean, why would we? This is what Jesus Christ came to do. Die upon the cross for our sins, and raised 3 days later, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That's what He came to do, to save us from eternity of hell. So I shall not discourage anyone in ever speaking of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So this afternoon, that is what I'm going to look at. We're going to look at the resurrection of Christ. And the first thing I want to do is consider the alternative. If Jesus had not raised, and then we want to consider the impact of what it means that the resurrection did take place. So again, let's consider the thought, if Jesus Christ would not have come, and that he came and that he died just a normal death, that there was no resurrection that took place, that somehow it was just all a hoax, that it was all a scheme. You know, today people will tell you, you know, they'll say, oh, they were reaching up that sponge, it had a drug in it, and that they drugged Jesus Christ, and it appeared that he was dead, and they took him and they put him in the grave, and then they stole him, you know, opened the grave, opened 3 days later, and then Jesus Christ went off and he married Mary and had a child in Spain or whatever it is that they like to say. They go into all these details to describe to you what took place. What if it was all a hoax? What if it was all a scam? What if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was not risen from the dead? Well, first of all, it would mean that the apostles were false witnesses of the resurrection. I mean, it wasn't as if they could be fooled, right? I mean, let's just face it. They weren't fooled by someone who looked like Christ, who sounded like Christ. These were men that had spent the last 3.5 years of their life camping out with him in the middle of the night. It's not as if they're fooled as to who they saw and whom they heard speaking. They could not have been deceived by an imposter. So the only conclusion is, if they preached the resurrection of Christ, then they were preaching a lie if Jesus Christ was not risen. And Paul implied that very thing, by the way, in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and 15. And if you want to turn there and actually put your finger there, because I'm going to be coming back to this chapter several times during this message just for a verse or two each time. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 15, it says, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ." That's exactly what he says. He said, if there is no resurrection, then what we are false witnesses. But you know what? You'll not find one single one of the apostles in Scripture that ever said it was a hoax. You'll never find one single apostle in Scripture that ever said that it wasn't so. Even Thomas, who had his doubts, looked at Christ before he ever touched him and said, "My Lord and my God." They continued on to preach. Why? Because they saw him. Because they felt him. Because they knew it was true. So we have them preaching the resurrection of Christ from the very start. I want you to think about the very first sermon. I won't say the very first sermon, but it really is truly the first gospel sermon ever preached, which is the day of Pentecost. And what did it revolve around? We'll look over in Acts chapter 2. Again, hold your place here in 1 Corinthians. But in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 22, just reading a few verses here, it says, this is in the midst of Peter's message. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should holden of it." Here we have the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. His visitation, his suffering, his resurrection. And we see that message repeated over and over again by the apostles throughout the Word of God. But what if it was a lie? What if it was a hoax? then where did it get them? Did it bring the apostles great riches? Absolutely not. None of them died rich. Did it bring them some kind of glorified social position? Well, certainly they were elevated in the church, the local churches. Certainly they were elevated there. But to their kindred, to the Jewish people, they were hated. To the Romans, they were hated. There was no elite social structure in this. In fact, where did the preaching of a lie get them if it was a hoax? Well, I'll tell you where it got them. It got them beheaded, crucified upside down, filleted alive, torn asunder, boiled in oil. That's the kind of deaths that these men died because they were preaching the resurrection of Christ. But none of them recanted. None of them recanted. Even when faced with death, they did not recant. They did not say, maybe I was wrong. Maybe it wasn't him. No, they boldly took up their cross and they followed after Jesus, even to their deaths. And you know, we don't have their deaths necessarily of all of them in the Word of God. We have only one of them. But, you know, history records for us, and if history be true, I believe it was Andrew that they said, as they led him to the cross, that he said, I have boldly looked forward to this day. And they tied him to the cross. And for 2 days, he preached the gospel to everyone that passed by. Imagine, folks. You know, people will die for their country, even if they don't like what their country's doing. But they'll die for their country. They'll gladly serve their country. People will die for a person that they love. People will die to save a person. Police do it. Firemen do it. You know what people won't die for? Cover up a lie that they know gets them nowhere. People don't die for that. People don't suffer for that. And that is exactly what the gospel would have been. Had Jesus Christ not risen from the dead, it would be of no benefit at all. Which brings me to my second thought, of what it means if there was no resurrection. Because it means that our preaching today is in vain. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, it says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. Imagine that, folks. Imagine how many sermons have been preached over the last 2,000 years. Imagine the amount of hours of preparation that's gone into the study of preparing for those messages. Think about the time that people have devoted in coming towards churches and revivals and special meetings, all to hear what the Word of God has to say, all to hear about this risen Savior. But if it didn't happen, all that was in vain. We're just wasting our time. We should have joined a social club. Spend our nice Sunday afternoon playing golf or tennis. Or better yet, fishing. It means that all the Saturdays that I've spent preparing, instead of going out and having a good time, or taking care of the house, was all in vain. If there was no resurrection. And that's pretty disheartening. That's a disheartening thought to think that all this was wasted time. That today is a wasted time. I mean, at least yesterday we had some physical food, right? That was at least worth it, right? But today all you've had is singing. Today all you had is me, and that's not much. Especially on the second part. It's a discouraging thought, but I've got a worse thought than that. Yes, the third thing that is true is if Christ isn't risen, then we're still dead in our trespasses and sins. Think about it, folks. If justification came through the keeping of the law, then we have failed miserably. None of us here has ever made a sacrifice for our sins, have we? None of us have ever done that. None of us here have ever kept the Ten Commandments without fail. No, Paul was certainly right that the law was our schoolmaster, showing us indeed that we were complete failures rather than triumph. The fact is even if today, with the knowledge that there was no resurrection, if we tried to keep the law as best we could not keep it. And if we thought that somehow that we're going to somehow, you know, earn enough good in this life to outweigh all the bad, then think again as you stand before an all-holy and righteous God in judgment. And that's why Paul went on to say, and your faith is also in vain. If Christ didn't rise, then we have faith in a lie that cannot save. Now, folks, that's more miserable than the thought of some wasted Sundays, isn't it? Because you know exactly what that means. Brings me to my next thought. You see, if Christ is not risen from the dead, it means there's no salvation from our sins, which means that we are destined for a place called hell. As Paul tells them in Corinth again here in verses 17 and 18, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. They also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. I want you to think about the songs that we sing about heaven. Think about the peace. Think about the comfort that we have in those songs. Think about it as we think about the death of loved ones and knowing that someday that we'll see them again at the feet of Jesus. And think about the peace that has brought us on the many, many nights that we miss them. It has for me. You know, I think about seeing my grandfather. I miss him dearly. I miss my grandmother. I think of seeing some saints here at Grace that I miss. I miss Sister Corinna. I miss Brother Dorsey. I miss seeing Brother Carl come in when we have those dinners. I miss them. And I think to myself, what comfort I have in knowing that they're in heaven waiting for me. But if Jesus be not raised from the dead, then there is no hope of heavenly bliss. There is no hope of strolling over heaven with someone you love. Rest assured, hell is no place of happy greeting. Hell is no place of a good old party with your friends. Though indeed, if there was no resurrection, then we have no hope. And that brings me to my last thought. If Jesus Christ has not risen, that is indeed that Christians should be the most pitied of people. Paul went on to conclude his thoughts in verse 19. If Christ had not risen, in verse 19 it says, if in this life we only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. That is, as if our hope is in a lie, in one that did not raise from the dead, then we're fooling ourselves. We should be pitied, because the fact is we're spending all of our time trying to bring other people to a lie. Now that should be a pitied people. Folks, that is the implication if Christ be not risen. But I declare to you today by the apostles who died willingly, not for the preaching of a lie, but for the preaching of a truth. And folks, I declare to you, not just by the witness of those 11 men, but by the women at the grave who saw Christ and testified of Him. And folks, I declare to you, by the witness of the half-brother of Jesus, who saw Him and began to preach the glorious gospel of the resurrection. I declare to you by the witness of the 500 brethren that saw him at one time, who in the days of Paul's life, you could still ask and would say, yeah, I saw him. And I declare to you by the witness of Paul, apostle called out of due time, who on the road to Damascus, ready to kill Christians, saw Jesus Christ. Folks, I declare to you, the risen Savior, because He lives in my heart. Yes, folks, by the testimony of all of those who willingly gave up their lives and followed Christ, who willingly gave up their lives to preach the resurrection. Yes, folks, by their testimony, I declare to you that this same Jesus that Stephen saw and declared in Acts 7:56, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God," as they stoned him to death. Yes, by their testimony, I declare with all of my faith, with all of my hope, that Jesus not only died the death of the cross, but He has risen victorious over death, hell, and the grave. So today, we can boldly and gladly sing, "He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today." Today we can sing with confidence, "Up from the grave, He arose." Today we can lift up our voices and heads and sing with all assurance, then bursting forth in glorious day, "Up from the grave He rose again, and as He stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am His, and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ." Yes, today, and not just today, but every day, because Jesus lives, and today He's standing at the right hand of the Father, and He has His eye right on you. Right on you. So now that we've considered the implications of what it means if Christ had not risen, let's consider, let's backtrack, and consider what it means since He has risen. Number one, it bears witness to the truth of the ministry of the apostles. Some might think, well, how can I trust what is written? Well, because these men willingly put their lives on the line and suffered the deaths that they suffered, deaths that would give us nightmares for the rest of our life if we had seen just one. These men, though, didn't just speak of the death, burial, and resurrection. These men were faithful to write all the things that Jesus Christ had said and spoke, and things that the Holy Spirit impressed upon them. And because of that, we know that we have the Word of God, and we know that we can trust it. Trust it for doctrine. Trust it for reproof. Trust it for correction. Trust it for instruction in all righteousness. Here, in the apostles' doctrines, we find words that lift us up, that give us hope, that get us through another day. Words that cause our heart to break when we know that we failed the God that we worship. Yes, because of the resurrection, I have faith in those that God used to pen this word. Secondly, we know that because of the resurrection is true, then our preaching is not in vain. We know indeed that His word will not return to Him void. We know indeed that God has a chosen people unto Himself out there, a people that God has ordained for the foundation of this world to be saved. And folks, He has ordained the preaching of men to go out and to tell them about the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son. It is in this gospel message that Paul declared is the power of God unto salvation. Paul never thought a single thing that happened to him in his life was in vain, because it gave him further opportunity to preach the Word of God. Whether he was in a jail cell, chained to someone, whether he was in a shipwreck floating at sea, wherever he was at, he used it to praise God and to preach the gospel of Christ. And Paul said that everything that he had lost in his life was nothing more than a pile of rubbish, a pile of dung, that he might win others to Christ. Brothers and sisters, there's a world out there that needs to hear about Jesus. There are some right here that need to know Jesus fully within their hearts. The people need to hear it. They need to hear it at work. They need to hear it at school. They need to hear it at the family table. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Because Jesus is risen, I know that my preaching is not in vain. And I know that every time that we go out of this place, as we are told to do, and witness the gospel of Christ, that it is not in vain. And why is it not in vain? Well, thirdly, because of the resurrection, we know that Christ has taken away our burden of sin. Paul again wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I like verse 6 where he says, "and hath raised us up together." Why do you think he used that phrase? Folks, he used that phrase because he is pointing our minds to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When he was raised the third day, brothers and sisters, it was when he was raised that we then have victory over life. It is here that our forgiveness is complete. And I know so often we point to the cross and we point to what Jesus Christ did to the cross and how our sins were nailed to the cross. And we speak about the cross, the cross, the cross, but don't forget the resurrection, because it's just as important to our salvation. So because he is risen, I know his word is to be trusted. I know because he is risen, our preaching is not in vain. Because he is risen, we are made free from our sins. And fourthly, because he is risen, my faith is not in vain. You know, I don't have to look at the Quran and wonder if it's the true way. I don't have to think about all those Eastern type of religions, the Hinduism, the Buddhism, and all of those things, and wonder if that's the true way. I don't have to think about all those people who beat the drums in the jungles and wonder if they're worshiping the true God. I don't have to think of all of any of those things or any other lie the devil ever told, because I know today my Redeemer lives and that he has prepared a place for me. And I know because he lives again that someday he's coming for me. Which brings me to my next thought. Because Jesus lives today, because of the resurrection, I know that when I die, I will not go to a place called hell. No, when I die, I'm going to go to be in the presence of the Lord. Someday, not now, but someday, if he doesn't come to get me first, I'm going to cross my Jordan. And I'm going to go just over in the glory land. And you know what? There, I'm going to see my granny. There, I'm going to see my granddad Julius. There, I'm going to see Dorsey. I'm going to see Corinna. I'm going to see Carl. I'm going to see all the saints of God that have gone on before that I have hope of seeing again. The best of all, I'm going to see my Jesus. I'm going to see my Jesus, the one who died and rose for me. And lastly, because he is risen, Christians should be the most joyful people on this earth, for they have been blessed with the greatest gift that has ever been given. Notice I didn't say the happiest people on earth. Happiness is a fading emotion. Some days we're happy, some days we're sad. Some days we don't know how to feel. But in all of those things, the Christian should have joy unspeakable and full of glory because of He who lives within. Folks, the Christian has joy before the storm. The Christian has joy during the storm. And folks, because we have Christ, we can shout hallelujah on the other side of the storm even louder. Oh, folks, we should have joy. Today, I wonder if you're here and you have this same joy. I hope that you do, and I pray that you do. But if you don't have Christ truly living within you, that isn't you at all. Right now, the burden of sin is still on you. Right now, your path is set, and so is your destination. But it doesn't have to be that way. There is hope in Christ. Don't think I'll put it off till tomorrow. Don't think that I've got plenty of time, because tomorrow may never come. This afternoon, your 4 o'clock, snack may never come. No, today is the day of salvation. Can you come to Him this day? Can you come to the One who suffered and bled and died and is risen to take away the sins of all those who will believe? And brothers and sisters, I want you to know, I understand the sovereignty of God in all things, in every part, but we still must preach whosoever will. So today, as we sing this song of invitation, I invite whosoever will to Jesus. Come to Jesus. If the Lord isn't dealing with you in any way, we invite you to come. Maybe it's scriptural baptism. Maybe it's church membership. Maybe it's just to profess Him as the Lord and Savior of your life. And to God be the glory if that be so. Brother Randy.